When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey everybody, I'm Chris Fafalius, and I'm the producer of Krista Makes a Podcast and the host of the One Hit Thunder podcast.
And I'm Matt Kelly, host of Horror Movie Night and the producer slash the head of content for the Geekscape Podcasting Network.
Between the two of us, we have, believe it or not, 25 years of podcasting experience, and we want to help you start your own podcast.
We know podcasting, and we want to share that knowledge with you.
So whether you're new to podcasting or you want some feedback on your currently active podcast, we want to help.
Or perhaps you're just overwhelmed with all of the editing work. Well, we can help you with that also.
You can contact us at info@weknowpodcasting.com for more information.
We're excited to help your podcasting dreams become a reality.
I'm a mess. I'm such a wreck.
Hey Geekscapists, with Valentine's Day around the corner, we've decided to hook you up. Geekscape has partnered with the video dating app Filter Off to bring you a free and fun video speed dating event on Saturday, February 13th. To take part, all you've got to do is download the Filter Off dating app to your smartphone. Find the Geekscape event and RSVP with the code GEEKSLOVE2. That's T-O-O, because we do love to. You don't have to wait until Valentine's to use the app either. It's fun and free, and Matt Kelly has already racked up a ton of dates on it, so what have you got to lose? Download Filter Off, and we'll see you on February 13th. Geekscape forever.
Hey, what's up, Geekscapists? Welcome to a brand new Geekscape podcast. I'm Jonathan London, your host. And if this is your first Geekscape, well, we're going to talk movies, video games, comic books, pop culture. That's what we do here on Geekscape. If this is not your first Geekscape, well, I commend you. Something that we've been doing has been scratching that geek itch for you, and we're glad. You might want to get it checked out, though. The geek itch might not be something that you should be holding around for too long. It might start to burn. You might end up like me. You definitely want to get it taken care of before it gets out of control. You'll find yourself, as a man my age, continue to do a podcast on the internet for 15 years. So that geek itch that you have to scratch and go see a doctor, you know, I changed my mind. No more geek itch. I'm just kidding. Geek itches are great. And we're going to be scratching one, a few today. I'm joined by my good friends, Matt Kelly, Derek Cranebelt, and Chris Fafalius, to talk latest news and reviews. That's what we're doing this week. Katie is out. Katie was like, Boys Club. We're doing Boys Club week. So to get y'all going, Christopher Robinson, who's like one of my favorite Geekscape, he just dropped in to say, you know what? Just a few days of the cream and that geek itch will get taken care of. I've been putting that cream on for 15 years. Maybe it's the wrong cream. I don't know. Let's talk cream. Someone who's all about creaming. That's Matt Kelly. He's been creaming and itching on Geekscape with me for a very long time. Hey, buddy, how are you?
Doing well. It's funny. I was sitting here and you were playing the Geekscape theme, which is performed by Punchline, featuring Chris, who's going to be on the stream in just a second. And I was remembering that the only reason I even have a friendship with Chris is because of Geekscape. It was the magical combination of me singing a song about penises at a comedy show and then him being on Geekscape the following day and us getting tacos together.
Matt, don't stop there. The only reason you have friends is because of Geekscape. So
that is true. That's accurate. I never had a friend until I moved to Los Angeles.
Yeah, as great as Chris is, like, let's just come on. I don't want to like you to marginalize our role in your life, please. Speaking of friends, friends who cream together, stream together. This is Derek here in Vancouver. Derek,
hey guys,
how are you creaming and streaming up there?
It's real creamy up here, Matt. You probably want to get that itch taken care of though before February 13th when you're going on some speed dates.
I know. I got a ton of them lined up.
Yeah, I know, right? I hear that you already have some dates lined up, according to that advertisement.
The ad is one thing, and I know that ads can lie because you called yourself the head of content of the Geek Scape Network. But have you actually been racking up dates on Filter Off? Has it been working?
No, not at all. I was completely...
Sorry, Zach, but...
I mean, yes, so many...
what's really funny is we actually have Geekscape as being contacted by like local news to talk about the Filter Off Geekscape dating event, which is really funny. I'm getting like DMs. It's like, hey, somebody's cool to ask me about this. I'm like, and you should just drop that Geekscape name. And we'll see what we can build. Speaking of building, we did bring Chris Ofalios of Punchline into the fold as a podcaster last year. He does our One Hit Thunder podcast. He and Matt have a brand new venture we're going to talk about. Here's one of my closest friends, Chris, who I've known longer than y'all, which is crazy because I've known y'all. Here's Chris Ofalios. Chris, how are you? We also call him Big Chris.
That's what I refer to myself as only in these streaming things. It's the only place I'm Big Chris.
Are you normal size Chris when the stream isn't around? When you're not screaming and creaming, are you normal Chris?
Just regular old Chris. That's me.
Chris, we ran an ad early on to start the show for you and Matt's new venture. We Know Podcasting. Why should you be trusted with this whole thing, the We Know Podcasting? Can you all tell me about this? Because I look up one day and things are just starting up. Like, first off, that's not the first time I've been bushwhacked with brand new information. About 10 years ago, Matt was like, I want to start podcasting. And he starts like just doing podcasts over on Geekscape. And I'm like, okay, that's okay. Oh, that's okay. But the leash just got longer. And then this guy is now like adding podcasts willy-nilly. He's like, we just added this show. We just added that show. Obviously, I like all the shows. I like doing it. But this whole thing about becoming the head of content at the Geekscape Network, did you run that past you at least, Chris?
Yeah, no, I had a meeting with myself. And it was a tough negotiation, to be honest. But I allowed me to be the head of content.
I think it's well-deserved. I think Matt and I know how to make great podcasts. And a lot of times it takes a lot of patience and a lot of editing. As Matt and I know about everything from vocalized pauses to ums and ahs and you knows and mouth clicks and everything like that.
Max, those are my big pet peeve.
Yeah, I agree with you. Those, I just gave you an right there. Those are things that for the most part, you can cut out in editing. I've done my share of podcast editing, not on my show. I just remember that I was thinking about that. I was thinking about We Know Podcasting, your new venture. If you all need help with your podcast and you're listening to this, if you need editing help or making a logo or naming your podcast or producing your podcast, info@weknowpodcasts.com.
It's weknowpodcasting.com. We're going to advertise it.
Let me fix it right. It's weknowpodcasting.com. We Know Podcast was taken. So info.
There you go.
Weknowpodcasting.com.
That's us.
You can just cut this out. It's fine.
No.
Can I talk about a couple more things about it?
All I wanted to say was, I think what attracts me to podcasting was what attracted me to radio. It's got to go live, baby. It's got to go live. There ain't no cleanup after this. What are y'all, a bunch of amateurs? You got to go clean that up? Who doesn't want a guy talking about itching the geek scratch? Whatever I talked about, okay? Like, that was gold. We just got to keep running. What do you got to say, Chris? Because
I'm saying is there are a lot of bad podcasts out there. And a lot of times it's because people didn't put a lot of thought into the content, and don't know how to edit themselves. That doesn't just mean the things I was just talking about. I'm talking about you could take out an entire 15-minute block of talking because it's just not interesting.
Yeah.
Matt and I both agree that podcasts should not be over an hour long. I mean, once in a while, I might get over that a little bit. But there's just a lot.
The 3-hour podcasts are super unnecessary.
No, hold on, Matt. Hold on, Chris. Joe Rogan signed a giant billion-dollar
deal.
Get me started.
He does a 3-hour podcast. It's phenomenal. And I know from experience that when I listen to the One Hit Thunder podcast, I want that thing to at least be 2 hours because y'all drop the musical nuggets so heavily. And when I listen to Geekscape Games, I'm probably in an alternate dimension because that show doesn't go anymore. And you have Derek to blame. Wait.
If only someone could help me. If someone knew podcasting. Like, if I was actually going to ask, like, part of why I'm here, if I wanted to start a video game podcast on the Geekscape Network, like, who would I talk to about something like that? And how much would it cost me?
I know a couple of guys that could help you.
Yeah. So the other thing, like, we're talking a lot about the editing, which is a big important thing when it comes to podcasting. But the other thing that I think Chris and I can bring to the table is if you are, as you just said, Derek, if you're someone who's trying to start a new podcast, we're also offering consultations where we can sit down with you for an hour and really help you flesh out your idea, flesh out the equipment that you might want to look into getting, fleshing out all the different stuff that you would want to look into. Because I think that a lot of people, they dive into podcasting and their go-to is like, well, I just have to talk. I've got GarageBand on my computer. My computer's got a microphone inside of it. So like, I'll just sit down with my friend and we'll just talk because my friend and I are hilarious and people are just going to love it. And it's like, no, you really need to like have a hook. And it can be something as simple as like, I mean, Chris's old podcast, Men in Their 30s, it was just him and his friend talking and being funny, but the hook was like tying it all back together with like what it's like to be in your 30s, life in your 30s, like, and that was enough of a hook to bring people in.
Well, I think another thing about it that's really important to remember is, you know, having that concept, and Matt and I both agree, because I think you talked about this maybe last week, Jonathan, when I watched the podcast live stream, that most podcasts stall out within like 6 or 7 episodes, and then that's the end of it. You know why that happens? Mm-hmm. Because people start scrambling, and they're like, "Oh shit, I got to get a podcast done this week." And then it just becomes this like stressful thing. Matt and I both agree that you should have 10 episodes in the bag before you even start scheduling the first one. That you should be on a schedule and you should be ahead. I always push for evergreen podcasts.
Yeah.
That doesn't work for everything. If you're doing a sports podcast, that's not going to work. If you're doing a news podcast, that's not going to work. I understand that. But a lot of times I think evergreen podcasts are great because episode 2 of your podcast can still be relevant 10 years later, if you're depending on what your subject is. Matt and I are both really obsessed with this podcast called Bizarre Albums that's made by Tony Thaxton, who's the drummer of Motion City Soundtrack. It is like a perfect 15-minute, perfectly crafted, well-executed podcast. Not too long, but it's just so entertaining, and it's so perfectly done and evergreen. And I think it's the perfect example of a great podcast.
I think it could be a good hook, though, to hear sports news from 10 weeks prior.
Well, what do I say to those jerks who are still downloading episodes from 2006 that I did? All right? Yeah. Like, I don't even sound the same.
There's evergreen content in that, in the sense of like shows like The Flophouse, right? There's a really great comedy podcast about movies called The Flophouse, and their goal is to only talk about movies that bombed within the last year. But even though that's, you know, still fairly evergreen, the flip side of that is people are going to be rediscovering those shitty movies all the time, especially in those early, like the early Geekscape episodes. I think every single episode came with a movie review.
Yeah,
for years.
I got a movie review for you right now. Well, I can if you want.
Hey, I think what Matt and I can offer, and I mean this sincerely, is, you know how all of us in here have experienced that, like looking back at your early episodes and being like, oh God, like
Yeah, well, anytime I have Matt Kelly on the episodes, I'm like, oh, why?
What I'm getting at is we can make it so right off the bat you hit the ground running with a great first episode to be proud of, because we can help you flesh out that idea and that concept and make it rock solid, coach you up on what you're doing. You know, do you know how many podcasts I've been on as a guest where it's more or less just someone going like, so what's up, man? Like, that sucks.
Chris
that
Farley sucks. On Saturday Night Live.
Yeah, right.
Well, was the first episode of One Hit Thunder like that? Was that an awesome one, Chris?
Not necessarily.
That one hit the ground running? Was that one that we go back to revisit?
By episode two, we hit the ground running.
Chris,
you're my good friend. I'm fucking with you.
But like, even the reality of that is like One Hit Thunder. Chris and I fleshed out that idea over like a 3-month period before we even sat down to record. Like, it wasn't like I called him on a Monday and said, I have a podcast idea. And by Friday we were recording it. Like, we really tried to figure out like, who are the guests? Who's the audience for this show? What are the like first couple topics that are going to like pull people in? And like, as you go through it, you also start figuring out what works and what doesn't work. And like, one of the things we learned very quickly with One Hit Thunder, and what I think is the appeal of One Hit Thunder, and it honestly, I think, is the appeal of Horror Movie Night to a certain extent as well, is that the show is all about the tangents, not the topic. Absolutely. You know, it's not about, because you can only talk about like Return of the Mac for so long, but you can use the conversation of Return of the Mac to talk about like, where were you in 1997 when this song dropped? Like, what were your memories of this? What type of music were you listening to? And like, getting those personal stories pulled out of people usually leads to really funny tangents. It leads to really interesting conversations. And, you know, Horror Movie Night, it works well because most people haven't seen the shitty movies that we watch, but they listen because they want to hear the weird stories that we get into about Brian's like drug years back 10 years ago.
I send you texts as I'm listening to the episodes and I'm telling y'all different things that are making me laugh, et cetera, et cetera.
Hey, that's exact. And I'll tell you what, I love that. And my friends do that with me too. Will text me things they like about One Hit Thunder or Krista Makes a Podcast. You know, I'm getting it from both from the hosting end and the producing end on another podcast. But I will say, once again, in all sincerity, what's really cool about podcasting, I know everyone in here can attest to that, is the excitement of making something, putting it out in the world and seeing people's reaction to it, building a community. Like what you've done with Geekscape, it's amazing. It's awesome, man. It's helped so many people, and it's also been such a fun thing, and to have that in our own little ways. And I think anyone who does a podcast and sticks with it long enough, doesn't just do the 5 or 6 episodes, sticks right with it for a year, will experience that. And it gives you this like fun purpose each week. And it's also a platform to, I don't know, if you want to make a film, it's a good place to talk about the film you're making. If you make music, it's a good place to talk about that. Not to say that it should be this big commercial, but it's also like gives you a voice, you know? Yeah. And I think that's a really cool thing.
And what the hell, Matt?
I was going to say, if Derek threw out a question about pricing, and I don't mind doing that real quick, but if you're coming to us for editing, for $60 we'll edit 30 minutes of raw audio. For $100 we'll do a full hour of raw audio. But the stuff that we're talking about with starting the shows, it is a $1,500 starter pack that we call it, which is going to include, you get the consultation with us, we get a logo made up for you, we get theme music written for you, we get all of the feeds hooked up for you, and we edit the first 10 episodes for you. So really, it is
pretty amazing.
Yeah, you couldn't be set up for a better first step into podcasting than what we can provide. And all of us, I think, have used Kate for logo. She's officially signed on as our logo person. And you know, Chris is in a band. We have a ton of different musicians of all types of backgrounds. If you're looking for ambient music, we've got people for that. If you're looking for something that's a little bit more of a rock feel, we've got people for that. We've got people if you want more of like a hip hop sound. We've got a whole list of different types of musicians in different genres to get the music that you are trying to pinpoint for your show.
Okay, Matt, listen. This guy down here in the corner who's wanting to do Geekscape games, can he pay you in Canadian dollars? Is that 1500 Canadian? Can we make that
loonies? Right, all loonies.
Derek, you know, I'm trying to motivate you to bring back that show. I've only been doing that for the last 3 months. I know you've got it in you. And I honestly don't think podcasting is that difficult. I think podcasting well is something that you have to work at for a while and just have fun with it and do over and over again. There are plenty of, I mean, I think 800,000 podcasts got started since March, mm-hmm. just because of the pandemic. There are three left from that list, but for the most part, those are the people who were having fun with it and kept going.
Well, and that's the other thing is that there's so many shows that have started up that are like, there's celebrities doing podcasts and they're taking a lot of money from like smaller podcasts that could probably use it. Like, I love Scrubs. I love Donald Glover, Donald Faison and Zach Braff. But like, do they really need to have like 14 advertisers? Like, I think they're doing pretty okay without the advertisers.
They have the listeners.
Yeah, but like, oh, I know, and I get that. But like, the reality of that is also that when this pandemic is over, do you think that those guys are going to take time out of their day to record two podcasts a week and the second that they're on the set or the second that they've got other things that they need to be working on?
We'll see if they're on the set first.
Yeah.
I mean, no offense to, I was just saying the other day that Zach Braff, I think after Garden State, like, I know he did other films. I wish that they had gotten the attention that Garden State got, because I think Garden State is an amazing movie. We have some questions here on the Boys Club. And I think this is a Boys Club episode, Geekscape. So I got the boys here. Just to wrap that last piece, if you want to start a podcast, it's American dollars, but you can hit up Chris and Matt at info@weknowpodcasting.com. And they'll set you straight for the first 10 episodes. And then you'll be rich and famous, and you can just keep paying them to make your podcast. Because anyone who starts a podcast just gets super, super famous and does not continue to do the podcast in their apartment at all. So let's talk. We got some questions here from Bolt T. He wants to ask the Boys Club, who was your childhood celebrity crush? That is a Boys Club question. And if we roll the years back to our celebrity crushes, and this question should go out to the audience as well, who was your celebrity crush? I just saw mine up on the screen because Heidi was watching the Go-Go's documentary that is on Showtime. And mine was Belinda Carlisle.
Yeah.
Because she had the Heaven is the Place on Earth video. And when I heard my mom coming, I changed the channel because I had all sorts of funny feelings going on when she was dancing with that inflatable globe or whatever it was in that room. Mine would be Belinda Carlisle, still totally holds up. I'm proud of it. So mine, that was mine.
Is up next, which we got.
All right. So the year was 1996, and Matt Kelly rented a movie called Casper. And in it, he saw Christina Ricci and said, "That's the girl I want to marry one day."
Can you give us an update on that, Matt?
No luck. She now got married, and I remember I was legitimately heartbroken when I heard that she got married.
There's always divorce.
Speaking for myself,
it doesn't matter. You still got a chance
with Christina Ricci. Just do that. Matt, just keep writing her letters. Did you write her letters, Matt?
No. I was like, if I met her in person, she'd really like me. That was like, you get like that mindset. You're like, this is how it's going to happen.
A lazy ass mindset. If I had that mindset, y'all wouldn't be listening to this podcast. I've been like, maybe I should talk on the internet. Next. That is no winner mindset, Matt. Let's just understand that when you email info@weknowpodcasting.com, ask for Chris.
Hey, I've got great podcasting advice, just terrible dating advice.
Well, keep swiping that filter off. We'll see you on February 13th. You might be the only one in the room.
I just saw Comment come in.
Andy Rattinger has a quick update. He says, Matt, Christina Ricci, and her husband are getting divorced.
Right, we got to get that. Matt. Start using We Know Podcasting and get me enough money that I have a chance to meet Christina Ricci one day. That's what I'm trying to finance at this point.
Here, do you think off of Twitch is jumping in real quick to say his was Maria Conchita Alonso from Colors. You ever see Colors? That was the movie with Sean Penn where they play L.A. cops, East L.A. cops. It's Sean Penn. And, oh, man, help me out on this one, Theorist DJ. I'm blanking, but he is a legend of film. He was in the Godfather films, et cetera. But it'll come to us. But watch Colors. Colors is awesome. Colors is an awesome movie, and she's smoking in that movie. It's Robert Duvall, and Sean Penn. That's a great movie. Chris, who was your celebrity crush? I'm guessing she had a guitar since it led you in the musical route.
Actually, no. And I got to say, I love both of your picks. Like, love both of your picks. But mine was actually the first girl I ever had a poster of on my wall, Alyssa Milano.
That is a solid
good one.
Hey, yeah, she, a really good one.
She was on Who's the Boss, and just, you know, I think we're around the same age, and there was that poster of her on a bike. I don't know. I liked Alyssa Milano.
I recently, we do these Zoom, we're now on our 10th month of freaking Zoom workouts. We're so climbing the walls. So what my workout group and I have started to do since we're doing Zoom workouts is we'll find on YouTube really cheesy workout videos and playlists, like and we'll Zoom them and do the workouts just to kind of mess around.
That's amazing.
The nice. Next one Heidi proposed is Alyssa Milano's Teen Steam workout.
Wow.
And if it, you know what, Chris, you're a little too old to watch the Teen Steam video knowing your past feelings for her. It would just be creepy, but there's some suggestive stuff in there, and I don't want
to seen Poison Ivy or whatever that movie was. Yeah. Poison Ivy 2 or whatever.
Yeah, John, she was in the sequel. Drew Barrymore was in the first one.
Keep in mind, Alyssa Milano is older than me, I believe.
Yeah. and she's awesome, and I would still have a crush on Alyssa Milano.
Yeah.
And John, sure. If you're looking for more suggestions for that workout, there's also Linnea Quigley's horror workout, I believe, came out at one point.
Even though we were desperately want you to change, never change, Matt. There's aspects of your life that could probably use an upgrade. But we'll see when the divorce for Christina Ricci goes through.
Yeah, I mean, that's given me a lot of hope. That's the most hope I've had during this entire pandemic.
I am going to get vaccinated. Christopher Robinson, who's a good buddy of mine here in LA, said, Juliette Lewis in Natural Born Killers helped shape the kind of woman I've been interested in my whole life.
Murderers?
sociopathic and homicidal. Yeah. I can maybe watch 10 minutes of Natural Born Killers before it's not for me. It is.
I love that movie.
Yeah, it's
I'm with you, John. I'm more of a true romance guy.
If it's Juliette Lewis, and this might sound weird, it's the one from Dusk Till Dawn where she turns to the camera and says, Richie, will you? I'm not going to say it here on the air, but just watch Dusk Till Dawn. It's an enjoyable movie. And Juliette Lewis is in it. Okay, Derek, which Canadian beauty kept you warm in the North?
Oh, God, Canadian, I couldn't tell you. I've always been I love America and Americans, and I grew up on American television. So the first one that comes to mind, and probably first big celebrity crush, has to be Danielle Fischel, Topanga from Boy Meets World.
Daniel Lawrence.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. She was very pretty, but also she she kept Corey, she kept him on his toes. She kept him like behaving well some of the time.
Like a girl who plays games. Did she play games on the?
I don't think she played games. I mean, it's been a while since I've watched. Matt had a whole podcast about Boy Meets World, so he's probably the one to ask.
No, they pretty much started dating and then never stopped for 7 seasons. So not a lot of games there.
So that's where Matt gets his idealism. He's like, she would never escape.
Yeah, you meet someone in sixth grade, and then you eventually marry them and live a happily ever after life, as I learned in Girl Meets World, the spinoff series.
Once Matt got to seventh grade, he was like, well, I guess that was it for me.
I didn't meet my Topanga. Grade.
Yeah, been just slowly waiting for death ever since.
Yeah, the only way to get him back is to build an impressive catalog of DVDs. Okay, this will work.
Show him you're talking Freddy Krueger, Matt.
Matt's like the reverse Rapunzel. Instead of growing his hair out, he's just collecting DVDs until somebody comes and saves him from the tower. He's in the opposite of a tower. He's in a basement. Matt is literally the reverse Rapunzel. There needs to be a children's book story about this. fair,
Matt. We got more Boys Club questions. Okay.
All right. Bolt T, keep the Boys Club questions coming. If you have a question for the Boys Club, we're going to answer them. This one says, what is your favorite Jean-Claude Van Damme movie?
That's so easy.
This might even be hard for me to answer, but let's start with you, Chris. You seem enthused with your response.
There is no other answer to this. If you say anything other than Bloodsport, you're just wrong. That's just the every line of Bloodsport is incredible. There's not one single line of dialogue in that movie that isn't quotable. It's like a perfect movie.
I have to disagree.
What about Universal Soldier? Bloodsport.
I love Bloodsport, but when I think of my Jean-Claude Van Damme, I think of a man who can punch a snake to death. So I'm going with Hard Target as my favorite Jean-Claude Van Damme movie.
Okay, this is tough. And Derek, you went on record saying Universal Soldier.
I mean, Bloodsport's obviously the better movie, but who doesn't love Universal Soldier?
You all might remember, if you're a longtime Geekscape listener, not that long ago, about 2 years, I had Dean Devlin on. He was the executive producer on like Independence Day and the 1999 Godzilla and Stargate. Dean Devlin also wrote and produced that movie, Universal Soldier. And it was an interview I think he wanted to have about like his new movie coming out. And I was just like, so Universal Soldier. it was a fun conversation. Dean was freaking awesome. And it was great. But I'm actually going to go, shit, this is really hard. Because I do like Matt's suggestion because I'm a huge John Woo fan. And I obviously, Universal Soldier as the sci-fi element. I like Time Cop a lot because that one also has a sci-fi element. It was
Sudden Death. What about Sudden Death?
Sudden Death I like because Powers Booth is a great villain. And obviously he gets to put a mascot through a steamer and save Chris's hometown. So that
Pittsburgh. It's Pittsburgh Penguins. It's a hockey based on the Pittsburgh Penguins. The famous Pittsburgh Penguins announcer, Mike Lang, who's known for all these like famous sayings like, scratch my back with a hacksaw and you can sell my monkey and things like that. In that movie, in Sudden Death, he goes, holy shit. Everybody in Pittsburgh loves that.
That's a pretty solid movie. There's Double Team with Dennis Rodman, which is not good. There's a great
Volvo commercial.
Yeah, there's a fantastic Volvo commercial. There's a Double Impact where you get twice the Van Damme for the ticket price, where he plays twins and is like, yeah, I can start quoting it, and then the whole podcast will be over. But I'm actually
going to introduce me to the Order as well, where he goes undercover as a Hasidic Jew or a Hasidic rabbi.
They started getting a little silly there. I'm actually going to stick with Kickboxer, the poster hanging in my office. I do love Kickboxer. It is as ridiculous as Bloodsport in many ways. I think Bloodsport is a more rewatchable film, but I think Kickboxer has some amazing lines in it as well, like when he's trying to convince Alex not to fight this. Please don't fight this guy. He's crazy, freaking crazy. He's trying to eat concrete block like this. Yeah, bastard was coming down. That's a great one. And he was my brother. You are going to make him walk again. There's some good stuff in Kickboxer. So here's a little addendum. I teach some college during the day sometimes. I play professor like Indiana Jones. And I'm on Zoom, and I am broadcasting right out of this office that we're broadcasting Geekscape on. And I get up to get some water at a break. I come back, and one of my students said, is that a Kickboxer poster in your office? And I said, well, it's hard to miss. It's enormous. It's the size of the entire wall. But he's a good kid. And he said, my dad actually directed Kickboxer.
Holy crap.
And because we're all working and learning from home, he said, Dad. And he called his dad in. And his dad, Mark Tesali, comes on camera and he said, oh, I recognize that poster. Hey, I made that film. And I also made Bloodsport. So the Mark Jr. is currently my student. He's a good kid. I can't comment too much on it because he's my current student. But as soon as he's not my student, let's work on getting Mark Sr. on the podcast to talk about making Kickboxer and Bloodsport. You all have a JCVD special coming your way on the Geekscape podcast. So make sure to subscribe. Chris Robinson says, Cyborg. Cyborg kicks ass. And I think Cyborg was supposed to be a famous sequel to a pretty big franchise, like a Terminator film that just didn't get too much steam. I know that Soldier with Kurt Russell is an unofficial sequel to Blade Runner, because the soldiers are kind of replicants, and the wars that in Soldier are being told, like are being talked about, are the same wars that were happening in like the off colonies and Blade Runner. It's a whole thing. Same writers. Theorist DJ says Double Team was the worst first movie I walked out of. I would go with Knock Off, where Jean-Claude Van Damme teamed up with Rob Schneider, and that one just didn't.
Do you guys walk out of movies? Is that
Wait, did I?
I never have.
I've slept through them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I slept through that movie Mother, you know, with, the Jennifer, art movie.
Yeah. Jennifer,
Jennifer Lawrence. Yeah. That movie was just atrocious. And I've argued with people that is such a bad movie.
I won't watch
it. And I also fell asleep during Anchorman 2 in the theater.
Yeah, Anchorman 2 was like too much of the good thing to the point where it just didn't taste good anymore. And you're just like, that's enough. They're over-dipping the Oreo cookie until it got soggy on that
one. So, John, I did a quick Google search, and this doesn't totally answer your question, but according to the production history of Cyborg, Cannon initially intended for Cyborg to be a sequel to the Masters of the Universe movie or possibly a Spider-Man film.
That, what's crazy is Tobey Hooper was supposed to do a Spider-Man movie for Canon and for Golan Globus, and it was supposed to be released in like 1991 or 92 or something like that, and they just couldn't keep it together. And I mean, Marvel used to just sell their
everything. Great, I don't know where you can actually watch it, because I just have it on DVD, but there's a great documentary out there called Electric Boogaloo that's just the history of Canon Pictures. And man, what a weird company.
they're pretty amazing. And I do know that documentary and have seen that documentary. And Canon Films I would say there's nothing like it, but just look at some of those like titles on like the fringes of Netflix and you realize that there's now a ton of Canon Films just dumping stuff on streaming. I mean, Matt, look at these movies that come out that you talk about on Horror Movie Night. There's so many Canon Films. All right, we got more questions for the Boys Club. Boys Club, keep the questions for the Boys Club coming.
It's like the Bolt Tea Club at this point.
Yeah, favorite guy movie of all time. I'm guessing that a guy movie would be something like a hangover genre where guys go on an adventure together. What would be your favorite guy movie of all time?
I guess, I don't know if this counts. I'm going to take guy movie as just like, I would say probably mostly male cast and I guess kind of like considered more of like a dude's film, but I mean, Clerks is like one of my all time favorite movies and that's pretty male heavy. And it is very frank male conversations. So I'm going to just kind of say that that's my favorite guy movie, I guess.
Yeah. It's hard for me to think of guy movies because they're kind of, I kind of steer clear of them.
Yeah, no, that's kind of the same thing I'm thinking. That's, I feel like all I can think of is what I was watching 20 years ago.
I think the American Pie movies, speaking of 20 years ago, I think the American Pie movies, for the most part, are fun guy movies.
And that's true,
You'd see that The Hangover would be a modernization of that, but that was 10 years ago, which is insane when you think about it.
I think the American Pie movie holds up like... Like, I remember seeing both of those movies and thinking that they were great, but, like, American Pie, I can still revisit and see it as great versus The Hangover, which I don't.
There's also old school. There's also,
Wedding Crashers, stuff like that.
I like those.
Pretty much if Vince Vaughn's in it, I think it falls under guy movie.
Yeah,
Swingers. Swingers is my favorite guy movie.
I think Swingers. I think I'm with you, Matt. I think Swingers is going to be my vote for my favorite guy movie. I just re-added it to my HBO Max or whatever it is just so I could watch it again. Chris, what would you say is your favorite guy's movie?
Stand By Me.
Shit.
That's a good one. Scratch Chris. Out Swingers.
I mean, that's
double homer out of the park.
I mean, even the perspective of him as, you know, Will Wheaton's character as... forget his name in the movie. His perspective of being looking back on, you know, will you ever have better friends than you had when you were however old or whatever. I just think that that's like such an amazing movie. And I think it's a guy movie, but like all these movies you guys are saying are, in my opinion, don't really hold up. they're kind of would never be made again because they're that bad. But I think Stand By Me is, it doesn't, Stand By Me definitely doesn't fall in the, what's the rule about you have to have two female characters talk about something? Yes. None of those movies would fall in there, and that's actually not very cool that they don't. But Stand By Me not falling into that, I think that even women would be like, yeah, that's fine. That makes sense.
Makes sense. It's the same with like a Sandlot movie. Yeah, like it's coming of age with little kids. It's a little bit different.
I think Good Will Hunting would be an okay one, but Stand By Me. And I think Swingers is a perfect like sort of document of the time. So
yeah. Gordy LaChance, by the way. Gordy. Thank you.
Yeah. I love the gumption. Like I love the idea of Swingers. Like, it's just like, hey, Hollywood's not giving us any chances, so we're just going to carve our own chances. And like, there's something that I like about that attitude in that movie.
If you liked it that much, you would have written Christina
Ricci. No, because me on the phone is like Jon Favreau on every phone call in that movie where he leaves like six voicemails continuing the previous one and stumbling all over himself.
You could have been directing Iron Man in her heart if you had that. Derek, what is your favorite guys movie? And it can't just be an earlier episode of Geekscape that we were all on.
The Comic-Con special 2019, I think, was I mean,
we were all together.
I hadn't even thought of it in like the Stand By Me sense, but I think if we're going like the, I don't know, the comedy route, like you two, the super bad a guys movie, like that one, that one, like I remember seeing it as a kid and being like, or as a kid, whenever it came out, I was like 15 or something, and hating it, just thinking it was like so stupid. And I think at that point I was like I like films. I'm too good for this comedy. And then like as an adult watching it, it was like the funniest thing I've ever seen. And like so like why didn't it relate to me when I was that age type thing? But it's super funny now.
I think that's a good one. But I'm gonna go ahead and know like seeing Superbad, and I like Superbad a lot. I think that a movie that got compared to Superbad a lot, Booksmart.
Booksmart was
so much better. Oh my God.
Yes. I forgot about Booksmart.
It's amazing. Mm-hmm. Okay, so we have another.
Can I say that I don't like either of those movies?
You didn't like Booksmart either?
You know what's funny is I saw Superbad when it came out and I loved it. And I just put it on a couple weeks ago and I couldn't take it. and I like Michael Cera. Dude, I think Scott Pilgrim is one of the best movies ever. I think it's incredible, holds up. Hated Superbad upon second watch. And that Booksmart movie, I fucking hated it. I hated those movies.
Okay.
I hate them.
They don't call him Hot Take Chris for nothing.
He's Hot Take Chris.
Look, all I'm saying is I am pretty opinionated about things. I like ranking things and listing things, but I think that's what makes it fun. What are we going to do? I'll come on here and agree about shit? Like, I think bad movies are bad movies, and I'm going to call them out. Even if there was something I like.
That is not a bad movie.
American, a really good movie. American Pie, that movie fucking sucks. But it was funny at the time, but I don't think that like a guy fucking a pie is funny anymore. I'm sorry, guys. It's not funny anymore.
Was there ever a time in your life you thought it was funny, Chris?
Yes. When I was a kid, I thought it was funny. Yeah.
I never found the pie fucking part. For me, it was always just Eugene Levy's every delivery. Like every line he says is so funny.
I'll give you that.
I think that there's a scene that will make me laugh every time in that movie where he is just standing outside of Jason Biggs's bedroom. And it's like it's an establishing shot for like 20 seconds of him just standing there. And as soon as Jason Biggs opens the door, he goes, "Oh, there you are." And it's like so on point for like my parents' parenting style where they're just like, "Well, I know he's here, so I'm just going to wait for him act like it's a chance encounter."
I will not revisit the American Pie movies, I don't think, but, now there are like 12 of them straight to video. So,
you know, some of those movies from, you know, around that era, maybe a little bit later or whatever, like I still think Napoleon Dynamite's one of the funniest movies ever made.
It's amazing.
Like it's perfect movie. It's amazing. That movie will be funny when I'm 90.
Yeah. And like, Nacho Libre as well.
Amazing. Amazing.
Okay. We got another question here. This one is actually, let me see. I'm actually going to ask the Andy Rattinger's one, because we got to talk about it. Growing up, what was your favorite toy line? I know I have mine, and I know Andy's is Mask. which are where like the people who would wear the helmets and the masks things. What is the favorite toy line you had as a kid or currently if you're Matt?
So it's hard for me to narrow. I'm going to go with a slightly obscure one. Only because like, as I've gotten older, I've appreciated this more and more, but the Toxic Crusaders toy line, it was the same company that was doing the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles toys. But the big difference that I found as I got older looking at those toys is if you look at the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle toys, and it's embarrassing that I can just grab two to show you, but I'm not going to. But if you look at the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle toys, they maybe use three paints on them, right? Like, like if you look at it, there's all these details that aren't painted in on the figurines because they just kind of blasted it with three colors. But like the Toxic Crusaders toys, there's like 14 colors on these toys. Like they made sure that every single feature had its own like different color to make it pop. And then they would just like kind of like Jackson Pollock, like a goo color all over the figures. So they look like they were all covered in toxic waste. And it's just a very unique looking toy. And I'm pretty sure it's from Hasbro because Hasbro was just making like the best toys, period. In the late 80s, early 90s. Like, their action figures are second to none.
So, Matt, do you think that once you woo Christina Ricci, she'll allow you to put those as cake toppers on your wedding cake?
Oh, that's the goal. Yes.
Okay. otherwise, he's not doing it.
Yeah, I'm not interested if she's...
My favorite should be no surprise to y'all. It is one that we talk about all the time, and the creator of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles has been on the show. One of them, Kevin Eastman. Hey, Heidi, how are you? It is the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Those are the ones for me. My younger brother was all about G.I. Joe. My older brother was all about the Transformers. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles are my thing, and they continue to be my thing. I love TMNT. Chris, what was your favorite?
Ninja Turtles are great. I got to give a couple honorable mentions real quick before I tell you my choice. I love Muscle Men. I forgot about Muscle Men, the little pink.
Muscle Men are amazing.
The Absolutely. Little pink guys that came in a garbage can. Sick as hell. And also honorable mention to the Ghostbusters toys, like the ones you'd bend over and the mouth would open and there's a football tongue. And, you know, those are pretty badass. But got to say, definitely a He-Man guy. Loved He-Man. Castle Grayskull, Battle Cat, Orko, He-Man, She-Ra. Just like.
Who was your favorite He-Man character or figure?
I think Battle Cat is badass.
So Chris, you don't know this, but back when there was a Machinima was a company that Warner Brothers ended up like buying and this and that, my good friend Jeremy Azevedo, who does he work for now, he's a guy who I don't think he's ever been on Geekscape, but he worked in media, he still works in media, he's a good guy. He brought me in to around the time that Machinima was doing those original Mortal Kombat live action series, and I know that they did like a Transformer series as well. They brought in our late friend John Schnepp and myself to do a He-Man series, and it just couldn't get a sponsor. It was the sponsor was Dr. Pepper 10 at the time, and I think Dr. Pepper 10 it lasted all of like 6 months, and Schnepp and I were going to do a short like online He-Man series, and I was going deep into all that stuff. And you're like, oh, there's gonna be Manny faces and this and that. And I was gonna go right into it. It was a dream.
Dude, that I never realized before I watched that the Toys That Made Us on Netflix that all of those started out as toys first, then cartoon. Like I would have never known that. That's
cartoons
insane.
Cartoons were commercials for the toys.
Yeah. That's so weird.
No doubt that those were commercials for the toys.
So weird.
Derek, what did you get to play with in Canada in the freezing north?
We didn't actually have toys until I was already past the toy owning age. So, I was like a really big trading card kid. So I always like if I ever had a choice of things, I chose, you know, trading cards, Pokemon, Digimon, Yu-Gi-Oh, Magic. As I grew up, as I evolved,
thinking different cards, I was like, oh yeah, because those Marvel trading cards from the 90s were fucking incredible.
I have finders full of them.
Same.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Definitely.
We should check. I might need some. Any if you have any doubles, I might need some.
Let's take a look.
And then, you know, I was born in 1990. I was super into Beast Wars. Was like the first Transformers that I really, really got into, like that I can remember. So a lot of the Beast Wars Transformers toys as well. Favorite being, you know, Megatron was a T-Rex as far as I remember, and that was a badass toy.
Okay.
place.
Final question.
G.I. Joe came out many, many years ago today, according to our Instagram page.
Very cool.
debut of the first G.I. Joe was today.
I think Roadblock was actually my favorite G.I. Joe because he rhymed whenever he talked. and that was always funny to me. Okay. We only got a few questions left of the Geek Boys Club. Feel free to ask a question if you want to leave a comment.
There's a good one from Twitch I see up there too.
Boys Club, if you could have any superpower, what would you choose? And I think this breaks down to that whole idea that there are only two real superpowers. There's variations of flight and there's variations of being invisible, either being out in the open or being undetectable. What would you say if I was to present that to you? Like, what superpower or what superhero do you think you'd want a power similar to?
I want to be an animorph. I think it's the greatest cheat code. You can get all of it. If you want to fly, anamorph into a hawk.
Wait, could the anamorphs turn into whatever animal?
I thought they were all a specific animal.
No, all you had to do was pet the animal and acquire their DNA, and then you had it locked and loaded. So you could have like
hundred. You got to pet an alligator. You got to go up to like a cheetah and pet it.
Well, so what happens is when you touch it goes into a trance, and then you can acquire the DNA.
So, like, if it bites you, you're like, sorry, I know you got your first bite, but now I'm you. Wait, that's trash. Animorph is trash. Sorry.
Animorph is great. I'm rereading those books right
now.
This is what's going to happen. You're going to be like, hey, I'm so happy to be an animorph. You're going to breathe. A freaking bug's going to go in your mouth, and you're going to be stuck as a bug forever.
Yeah, do you only get one? Like, can you only hold one animal at a time, or is it any animal you've ever touched?
Yeah, you can stockpile them all.
Can you mix and match? Like, I want wings, but also to be like a dog?
No. That's not a crazy Derek.
Yeah. Okay, maybe this. Chris, what superhero would you want? Please salvage this.
Can I see the future?
Yeah, totally. You may not want to, but there's superheroes who can like see the future. Like Madame Web on the Spider-Man universe, she can see the future, what's going to happen with the Spider-Verse and stuff like that.
But be careful, man. It could be like Kroll. Remember in Kroll when the origin of the Cyclopses, they wanted to see the future and they were like, well, we'll take your eye, but when we take your eye, you'll get to see the future. And then the only future they got to see was their own death.
Yeah, Chris, you may not want to see the future, but
I'm a gambler, so I just want to know what happens in the basketball games tomorrow.
I love that your superhero is becoming Biff from the Back to the Future.
Yes, dude, Biff, that almanac in Back to the Future 2 is like, I have dreams about that thing.
All right, time travel instead of being able to tell the future.
If being an asshole is a superpower, I'd be Superman.
I would just give away all the money I want, because what would I need money for? I could just always get more of it. So I would just give it away.
Chris, I don't know, man. I remember your phase going through that poker addiction, and I don't ever want to see you go back there, man.
I
love how you just want to eliminate chances and eliminate the need to have a job. I think that's what you want.
It's all about gambling on stocks now.
Is the poker games where the infamous Walking on Sunshine story originated?
Oh, yeah.
Bolt T's just giving us props. He says this is the best conversation ever, and he loves the Kroll reference.
He's just learning everything he wants to know about us. Yeah. All of our secret questions for all of our accounts. Next, he's going to be like, what was your mother's maiden name?
Geeks.
What was the make of your first car?
You know what? Let's just do this again next week and like not invite Katie. I'm kidding. Katie will be back next week. Geek Boys Club. I think we need to keep doing the Geek Boys Club episodes and have just varying geeks come in. Maybe we have Shane join us. Maybe have different geeks join us in the Geek Boys Club. But it will be the Geek Boys Club just to show that we're a bunch of immature kids who would do this. I mean, this is the equivalent of what we would do in like a treehouse in middle school. So
can you throw up the one Twitch question though we got from Turntables in Her Eyes? Because I know I have a few answers and I know what some of Chris's ridiculous answers are.
I did bring this up as a segue to come out of the episode. Again, Matt and Chris, not only are they starting this new company, We Know Podcasting, which you can find out more at weknowpodcasting.com and email them really info@weknowpodcasting.com. But they are putting together the One Hit Thunder podcast for the podcast network. So there's a question that's relating to One Hit Thunder. Can y'all make a playlist of the best Not the Hit song by each of the artists you've talked about on One Hit Thunder. So think about all the artists you've talked about on One Hit Thunder. And then what is the best song that didn't become a hit for each artist? Can you make that list and maybe make a Spotify out of it?
So there is a Spotify playlist for that already, but I would like to just turn it into a question of asking Chris, because I know he's had a few, but what are some of the not the hit songs that you ended up really liking while doing One Hit Thunder?
Yum Yum Sauce by Kaya. Yeah.
We talked about that in this most recent episode, and I was dying. And I also got really offended that you didn't ever send me a text telling me about Dick Down in Dallas. Yeah. That song sounded hilarious. Thank you, Chris, for failing this text.
It's a good one. I can't remember any of the other ones, Matt. I don't know.
Upcoming episode, you speak very highly about the song Horny by Mark Morrison.
Oh, yeah. Horny by Mark Morrison is great.
I'm trying to think. I know in our what we consider our official first episode, Mike was really touched by some song by Tom Cochran about the boy and the man or something like that.
The boy and the man or something like that. Yeah, the boy and the man. You
like Mike Bosley talking about that one?
Yeah.
I did not go and look that one up, but I make mental notes when you talk about the other songs. I was like, oh, I should probably look into the discography. By the time I'm done with the episode, I move on to like another podcast. And I'm so sorry, but
I went on the record pretty hard during the Semisonic episode that I think the song Singing in Your Sleep is like a masterpiece of a song and should have been a massive hit. And it's a bummer that it didn't do well as a single. And then, newly reformed New Radicals, their song Mother Just Can't Get Enough, really, really good opening track to any album. So those would be my shout outs.
Well, Geekscapists, I want to say thank you for listening to the Geek Boys Club on this episode. And like I said earlier, if you need help with your podcast, info@wenopodcasting.com. As for Chris, Derek, I can just keep harping on you bringing back Geekscape Games, but it sounds like you guys are moving. It sounds like y'all are
there was an email chain. Things are happening there.
I'm excited about it. I do not want to bully Derek because he'll disappear for another 3 years. I don't want that to happen because Derek's a good friend.
I'm going right now.
And although things aren't looking great for Comic-Con this summer, I want to keep thinking of ways to do something with y'all. And
I mean,
this live stream stuff has been fun.
Johnson & Johnson supposedly submitting their vaccine to the FDA. I was like, I almost said FBI. Submitting it to the FDA. And I mean, that could be a huge game changer because it's a single shot instead of a two shot. And it doesn't have to be kept at a low temperature, which means that it's a lot easier for distribution of it to happen. Which means
people can stop sabotaging your supply.
Oh, my God. Reading about that law? It's crazy. Dude, the Philadelphia shit is insane.
Or what they did here in LA, where they protested outside of Dodger Stadium and stopped the vaccinations for like over an hour. A bunch of people, I mean, it's the largest vaccination center in the United States, and they stopped it for an hour.
Well, Philadelphia put a bunch of 22-year-old kids with no medical experience in charge of the vaccination campaign, and that blew up on them.
Matt, why don't you try something like that and then like make the money and then use it to have some impressive show of love to Christina Ricci that get her attention, Matt? Like, think about it. Just steal from the government, turn around, take the money and use it to as like a giant, you know, declaration of love. It's something to think about. Okay, Matt?
Yeah.
Okay. So Geekscapists, we'll be back next week with a brand new Geekscape. If you want to listen to any of them, and you should, we got more podcasts on the Geekscape Network. Matt has a Horror Movie Night podcast. We got Chris with One Hit Thunder. And Derek is just always welcome on the show. And he's also got Geekscape Games.
Xbox and Game Passengers is evergreen as well. So
Yeah.
Geekscape Passengers really is evergreen. And Geekscape, thank you for hanging out with the Geek Boys Club of Geekscape. And we'll get you on the next episode to talk whatever you want. Like, we'll talk some WandaVision. Man, was that episode 4 awesome. We can talk a little bit about new movies. I enjoyed Palmer on Apple Plus with Justin Timberlake. Happy birthday, Justin. It was his birthday recently. That was a really good one. And Geekscape is basically your show. So tell us what you want to hear and what you're thinking, and we will make a show for you. This is your community, and it's your network. So Matt, Chris, Derek, I love having you on here. I'm going to check the comments one last time, and really, it's we love you. That's it. Geekscapists, over and out till next week. Geekscape forever. Peace.
You're listening to the Geekscape Network.